Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Michael Hiltzik, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist at the Los Angeles Times. He received the Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing the corruption in the entertainment business, and currently he has a twice-weekly column, Golden State, which covers business and economic issues relevant to the lives in California. His books include Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century, and The New Deal and Modern History. And his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is The GOP's Last-Ditch Obamacare Repeal Bill May Be the Worst One Yet. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Hiltzik.
Well, it's good to be back with you, Ian.
Well, thanks, Michael. And it does appear that this Cassidy-Graham bill, Senator Graham of South Carolina and Cassidy of Louisiana, himself a doctor, could actually repeal Obamacare. I mean, it's an odd situation to be. We've just had Bernie Sanders and 15 Democrats step up and say they're in favor of single payer. Some of the Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, thought it was a bad idea to sort of, you know, talk about a chimeric possibility as opposed to fight the good fight now, because the Republicans aren't done with trying to repeal Obamacare. And here's the evidence, right, that they're not done with it. And in fact, it looks as though that Cassidy and Graham could pull this one off.
Well, it's still pretty unclear whether they can get, they really need to get to 50 votes so that Vice President Pence can cast a deciding vote to pass this thing, and it looks like they have at least two senators who would vote it down, maybe more. You know, one of the odd things about this bill is that Cassidy, Bill Cassidy, who, as you said, is a physician, actually worked with Senator Collins, Susan Collins of Maine, earlier this year to craft a Republican proposal that as I wrote at the time, and even subsequently, was not great. You know, it wasn't a good repeal proposal, but it wasn't nearly as insane as some of the others that have come down the pike. And yet now he's turned around, and he's created with Senator Graham and a couple of other Republicans this proposal that really is beyond horrific. I mean, it goes to the horrific level and then keeps going. It would completely eviscerate the American healthcare system. It would cost states billions and billions of dollars over the next 6 years. And then after 2026, there would be nothing left. There would be no federal healthcare program to speak of. There would be almost nothing left of Medicaid. There would certainly not be subsidies for people buying insurance on the individual market. And all of the protections that we actually got used to under Obamacare, protection for people with pre-existing conditions, requirement that every health plan has minimal benefits, including maternity and hospitalization, mental health coverage, and prescriptions. Those could be gone if a state wanted them gone. So this is really a crazy bill, and the idea that it's coming this close is really pretty disturbing.
Well, as you describe it, Michael Hiltzik, one would think then that Rand Paul, who thinks it doesn't go far enough to repeal Obamacare, that he should maybe change his mind. Because, I mean, one of the bizarre things about the Cassidy-Graham bill is that all of those senators all of those governors, particularly in the red states, who refused to take Medicaid money, are rewarded, whereas the states that did take it and have put it to use wisely and well get punished. I mean, it's totally nuts.
Yeah, although obviously, you know, one of the imponderables and one of the strange things about this is that Rand Paul's state, which is Kentucky, actually had been one of the leaders in embracing the Affordable Care Act, and they did expand Medicaid. So that state would basically be on the hook. They would lose, you know, in 1 year alone, in 2026, they'd lose $3 billion compared to what they're getting under the ACA. They lose $3 billion in 2026 compared to what they're getting from Medicaid expansion and subsidies for their residents. So, you know, Paul's always been in sort of this odd situation representing a state that did very well under the Affordable Care Act, and yet he's one of the most conservative opponents. And you can see why he says this doesn't go far enough. You know, it still leaves a lot in place for six or 8 years, which really diehard Republican opponents of healthcare reform, you know, just think is untenable.
And again, I'm speaking with Michael Hiltzik, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist at the Los Angeles Times. He received Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing the corruption in the entertainment industry, and he currently writes a twice-weekly column, Golden State, which covers business and economic issues relevant to the lives of Californians. And his books include Colossus, Hoover Dam, and the Making of the American Century, and The New Deal, A Modern History. And his latest article at the Los Angeles Times is The GOP's Last-Ditch Obamacare Repeal Bill May Be the Worst One Yet. But just touch on the vote count, because obviously Lindsey Graham is very close to Senator McCain, whose vote was key to scuttling the last repeal of Obamacare. The governor of the state of Arizona is weighing in against McCain, and I presume his friend Lindsey Graham, who's a co-sponsor of this bill, is privately urging him to jump aboard. And we don't know about the senator from Alaska, Murkowski, either, do we? She's wavering, isn't she?
Well, I don't know if she's wavering. All I can say is, all we know is that she voted against the last bill, which was not as bad as this one. There's nothing in this bill that's an improvement over the last bill. And Alaska would lose money under this bill. So it's hard to see what would turn her around. I think the only thing about Murkowski is that she hasn't spoken out. Collins of Maine, I think, is probably clearly a no. If Paul is a no, well, then they've only got 48 votes. That's not enough. Or rather, that would give them 50 votes, so they really do need one more to bail out. So it's really hard to read right now. This bill is fairly new. As with the last bill, it's not going to be subjected to hearings. The Congressional Budget Office, which has to analyze any bill that comes to the Senate floor, has said it'll be able to produce a sketchy analysis of this bill sometime next week, but is not going to be able to analyze things like the effect on the number of people who lose their coverage, the actual cost to states, the things that are really important. And that means that senators will essentially be voting on something that looks like it would cost 30 million Americans their coverage, but they won't know for sure. And by the way, if it is 30 million or 32 million, which is the way the CBO scored the last bill that was similar to this, that would be half again as many people losing their coverage as the bills that got voted down. The last Senate bill would have cost about 20 million Americans their health coverage. This is going to be 30 million. It's, as I said, it's very hard to see how this is an improvement and how this is something that senators would want to vote for.
So what's the pressure here to push it through before September 30th? And also a part of why you can't count this one out.
Yeah, the September 30th is the deadline for passing this bill under the rules of reconciliation, which means it would only need 50 votes. After September 30th, any bill would need 60 votes to avoid a filibuster. So that's the hard deadline. I think the only thing, you know, we can say is that Republicans are really determined to make good on this promise that they've been making for years, that they will repeal Obamacare. And they care more about sort of showing that they kept faith with their hard right base than with sitting down and saying, well, what should we do with the healthcare system in the United States? What should it look like? What's the Senate's and Congress's role? They don't really care that much about that. They really just care about the sort of symbolic vote, which the risk is it would be more than symbolic, and it would eviscerate the American healthcare system. It would cost 30 million people their coverage. It would destroy Medicaid. It would just have incredibly bad impacts on millions and millions and millions of Americans. And the fact that they're proceeding with this is really shameful.
Well, it's also, I think, should be a wake-up call for people who see Lindsey Graham as this moderate, reasonable fellow. Now, maybe the bar has been lowered by Trump to the point where anybody that's not totally nuts seems like a statesman. But still, you know, this is nasty, cruel, horrible, and yet he comes across as a reasonable person. And Cassidy, by the way, I don't know whether you watched the confirmation hearings for Betsy DeVos, but he was shamefully sycophantic towards her in a way that was just absolutely turned your stomach. He didn't come across.
I think that just tells you that when you scratch a Republican so-called moderate, you find a hard right lunatic underneath. Graham has been moderate on a few things, but really something like this, there's just no moderation in this bill whatsoever. It's worse than every other bill. It gives states the authority, if they ask it, to basically to destroy all protections for people with pre-existing medical conditions. The only thing you can say for this campaign is that people in the public, people in Washington who were interested in healthcare reform, they took their eyes off the ball. Because everybody assumed that this was all over, that the last vote was the last vote, and then this thing comes up sort of bubbling out of the muck and mire, and here we're back to this debate again when everybody is sort of tired of it. So, you know, maybe they'll try to slip it through, but I think that now that it's out there, the attention of the reform wing is really now engaged, and, you know, we're going to go back through, you know, another sequence of pressure on senators to vote this thing down.
Right, but apart from your article, Michael Hiltzik, I haven't seen a lot that would indicate that the Democrats are mobilizing to stop this thing and to get the word out to the public how terrible it is. I mentioned in the beginning the Bernie Sanders and the 15 senators getting together the other day to talk about single payer, and some people think that's the case of the perfect being the enemy of the good. Well, at this point, what's facing the American people is something that's so bad that they better get their act together and stop it. They don't have a lot of time.
Well, I think you're beginning to see that. You know, basically toward the end of last week and the beginning of this week, I think you will see a lot more in the next few days. A lot more mobilization, a lot more attention in the press and on TV to this thing. And, you know, I think you're going to see the opposition to this reaching a critical mass fairly quickly. And the fact that it didn't happen until now, well, the bill just came up, really. It sort of, you know, emerged out of nowhere and started to look like a threat just really in the last few days.
But the CBO won't be able to score it, so you won't have that evidence of how terrible it is.
Yeah, the CBO says it will be able to score some elements of it. And the question is going to be, since in the Senate they have to have a CBO score to vote on anything on the floor, the question is... Is what the CBO is going to score enough? And that's it's just a little bit hard to say. But the CBO has said we are not going to have a complete score for this. So, it basically said it will not be able to provide, you know, precise estimates of the effects on the deficit, on health insurance coverage, or premiums, not for several weeks, which would put it beyond the September 30th deadline. So the question is, can this be spun by Republican leadership to look like the CBO has analyzed enough?
Right.
That's It's an open question.
Well, and you've got these this wolf in sheep's clothing in the form of Lindsey Graham, who's seen as a moderate. And, you know, this is that's the way this is being cast, is it not? As a moderate, common sense alternative to the earlier bills. But it turns out to be even more draconian than the earlier bills. So
I think what you'll see is that I don't think Graham's reputation as a moderate will carry this by itself. There's going to be enough coverage. I wrote a column today. My colleague out of Washington, Noam Levy, he wrote a piece about the bill today. So we had that's two stories just in the Los Angeles Times alone. You are going to see a lot more, and I think you will see the opposition exposing the flaws of this bill very, very quickly. And look, they're trying to push it through. They tried to push it through without much attention on it, and I think that element of their campaign has failed because now attention is being focused very strongly on it.
Well, Michael Hiltzik, I thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you. And again, I've been speaking with Michael Hiltzik, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist for the Los Angeles Times. He received the Pulitzer Prize for articles exposing corruption in the entertainment industry. He writes a twice-weekly column, Golden State, which covers business and economic issues relevant to the lives of Californians. And his latest book is The New Deal of Modern History. And he's an article at the Los Angeles Times, The GOP's Last-Ditch Obamacare Repeal, Maybe the Worst One Yet. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking about what would happen if there were what would Trump do if there were a terrorist attack on the United States.